I guess you can tell I want to talk about hope today. We all need it. Jesus came to give us hope. He is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means the confident expectation of spending eternity with Him in glory. And that's a wonderful thing. But He came not only to give us that hope, because there's more to it than that. Beyond the hope of our salvation, we need hope on a daily basis, don't we? We have to expect that He's there for us. No matter what we're going through, He's there to help us. He's there to lead us. He's there to guide us. He's there to provide the way to get through our trials and tribulations. So it goes way beyond basic salvation. I mean, that's great. But after we're saved, we still live on this earth, don't we? We still go through temptations and trials and tribulations and sorrows, hurts, afflictions, all sorts of things. We need hope for that as well. We need hope for the lost. We were lost at one time too, until hope came to us and we realized there was a better way, His way. There must be hope for the lost, and part of our responsibility is to bring that hope to them. But right now, this world is in such turmoil. It's terrible. Every time you turn on the news, you listen to the radio, whatever, there's always something bad happening. And it seems to be getting worse and worse. Here, let me give you this first scripture. This is from Ezekiel. This is a lengthy one, but I think you'll understand when I get through it. It says, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, 'Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness,' says the Lord God." Wow, that's really something. "If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beasts, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword on that land and say, 'Sword, go through the land,' and I cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only they themselves would be delivered. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness." That sound like what's happening in the world today? Persistent unfaithfulness by people is causing this to happen. Sin in the world causing all these things to happen. There's wars, rumors of wars. There's famines in different places. There's droughts. There's hatred, strife, turbulence. You name it, it's all happening in this world. And why? God is allowing it to happen. We only have ourselves to blame. I'm not saying any of you, I'm just saying in general. The people on earth have only themselves to blame. We, as a nation, have turned away from God. Not nearly as many people even believe in God in this country as they used to. Numbers are diminishing. Church attendance is down. People are going their own way, doing their own thing, claiming they want to be free, free from restraint to do anything they want. Oh, it doesn't harm anybody else. No. They don't understand. It really does. The immorality that is in this country, the corruption. We read about it all the time, and there's so much that's covered up that we don't see, but God sees it. And I think he's bringing all of these things on the earth as a result of that. That's terrible, isn't it? But what does that have to do with hope? Most people in the world, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but certainly a lot of people in the world feel hopeless. There's no way out of this. Things just seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. It's harder to make a living these days. It's harder just to survive. You're reading the news, people are digging into their savings. They're only living from paycheck to paycheck, and some are continually borrowing just to make it through. And it's not happening just here. It's all around the world. It's happening all over. People are feeling hopeless. Where is the hope? Where is the hope? Well, there's another scripture, which I'm sure you're familiar with, from 2 Chronicles, which says, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." That sounds like hope. There is a way out. There is a way through this. There is a way for healing of this land. But God says it's the responsibility of his people. He can't expect the unbelievers to do this. Right? He's expecting us to do this. It's a fact, unfortunately, that sin has crept into the church. I'm speaking in very general terms, so please don't think that I'm trying to single anybody out or this congregation, but sin has crept into the church. There are congregations, there are denominations or whatever that tolerate abortion, for example, immorality of various sorts. That's one of the things that we're struggling with our own denomination. We've had discussions on that, and there'll be more in the near future. But people are tolerating so much, unfortunately. And they think maybe that, well, God is behind the times, and that he needs to catch up. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons that people give for that type of thing. But God's people, the body of Christ, needs to do a little self-examination to realize that we're not immune to the temptations of Satan. We're not immune to trying to do our own thing instead of submitting fully to God. That we have been caught up in things. There's so much available these days to distract us from God, whether TV, movies, radio, smartphones, so much, sports, entertainment, so many things pull at us and tug at us, different relationships. You got Facebook and all these other things too, that try and pull us away from God. But God is looking for a people who are holy and pure. It's in Scripture. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." He wants a holy people. Scripture tells us that when he returns, he's returning for a church without spot or wrinkle. That means a pure church, single-minded, single-hearted, to follow God. That's what he's looking for. And unfortunately, the church at large falls far short of that, because we take things for granted. We're comfortable, content with where we're at, instead of realizing we need to really draw close to God. After all, he wants to make us into the very image of his son Jesus. We are being conformed to his image little by little. But too many in the church don't take it seriously. Like I said, they're just content. Hey, I'm saved. I'm fine. But there will be a reckoning someday, unfortunately. We all have to stand before the throne of God and give an account of our lives. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to help all of us understand what God desires of us and what he expects of us. No, we're not perfect, and he knows that. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. But what he does desire is for our hearts to be fully toward him, putting him first in our lives. And when we do that, and when we live lives accordingly, we bring hope not only to ourselves to lead a better life and to be blessed by him, but we bring hope to others because they see the evidence of Christ in us. And then our land could be healed. It is possible for this country to be healed of all of the strife and turmoil and the negativity and the sin and everything else that's in it. It takes God to do it, but it takes us to get right with him so that he sees that and acknowledges it. And just like it says here, we need to humble ourselves. We need to understand God is to be number one. We're not the be-all and end-all in the world. We may be the highest form of life on this earth, but there's a much, much, much higher form of life that we have to give account to at some point in time. But if we lead humble lives before God, if we seek his face and pray to him and turn from whatever wicked ways are within us, whether individually or within the body of Christ, within different congregations and churches, he will hear our prayers. He will forgive our sins and heal our land. That's where hope comes in. There is hope for us, for this country. But it's going to take all of us to really seek God, to pray. And if he reveals anything to us that he wants to change or that we need to repent of, then we need to do that. I don't know of anything in particular in any one of you, but I do know of some things that are occurring in different churches. We all need to repent of those things and pray for one another. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are being deceived into thinking that certain things are okay when they're really not. We need to pray that they would see the truth, that God would touch their hearts and bring them into the light to give them hope. Because right now, the way things stand, we're just on a, well, it's not even a roller coaster, just a slide right down. Yep. This country's going to hell in a handbasket. It wasn't this way when I was a kid, that's for sure. I've seen a lot of things happen. So I do want to encourage you. There is hope. Jesus came to provide hope. We need to rely on Him. We need to look to Him. We need to have more of Him in our lives and give more of ourselves into His life. We're going to spend eternity with Him. How long are we going to live on this earth? 100 years maybe, if we're lucky? And how long is eternity? I don't want to live throughout eternity if He says to me, "Why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you seek me while you had the opportunity here on earth? Why didn't you spend time with me? Why didn't you pray for others to give them hope? I gave hope to you. Why didn't you give hope to others?" It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy message. That's why Jesus came, though, to give us all hope. I don't know what else to say. I think that's it. I think the Lord is saying that's enough. But again, I'm not trying to be negative with anybody here. Things need to change in this country. We can't solve the whole country's problems, but we can be a light in this community. We can be. We need to be. And to do that, we need to humble ourselves, pray, seek the face of God. And if He reveals anything in us that is displeasing to Him, we need to turn from that. And when we do, things will change in us and in this community. Pray for one another. Pray for this country. Pray for this town. God is listening. God wants to heal our land. Let's make it easy for Him to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this wasn't exactly the kind of message I wanted to bring, but it is what it is. We thank You, Lord, for providing Jesus, who is our hope. But it goes way beyond salvation. Way, way beyond. You have provided hope for us for our daily living. You have provided hope for us, for the people around us, for our community, for our country. And we thank You, Lord. Help us to live up to the standards that You desire of us. Not to be perfect, because we'll never be perfect here on this earth, but to at least have that heart's desire and to do the things that You call us to do. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for hope. Thank You for Your blessings and Your faithfulness to us. May we in turn be faithful to You. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.